Hey y'all, this is Pastor Steve Berger. Welcome to Courageous Conversations, where we tackle tough issues in the church, government, and culture. Here we are, Holy Week, Monday morning, and what we're going to do, y'all, is look at the events of Holy Week like we do kind of every year at this time, because there's always a whole bunch of multiplicity of things, really, that are applicable to our lives. As we look at the life of Jesus, the man, and this is an important introduction to make this morning. You know, so many times we think of Jesus correctly, I might add correctly, you know, that Jesus is divine, that he's the God-man, that he's God and man both simultaneously. And then we think, well, of course Jesus healed the sick, or of course Jesus was able to do these unbelievable things because he's God. But what we forget to remember is that Jesus laid aside, is what Paul tells us in Philippians 2. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He laid aside his divinity, and everything that Jesus did, he did as a spirit-filled man. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at the life of Jesus, we have to remember he wasn't doing these things because he was God in human flesh and he was drawing on his divinity per se. But what he was doing was a man who was filled with the Spirit of God. And so when we look at the highs and the lows and the trials and tribulations and the needs that arose in Jesus' life, you have to remember this. Those needs, those miracles, all those things, he didn't get through because he was God.
Right.
He got through because he was a Spirit-filled man, just like you and I have the ability to be. Yeah. So really, really important. Mm-hmm. So this week, Holy Week, it really is, you know, kind of started yesterday with Palm Sunday, right? The triumphal entry into Jerusalem, kind of the coronation of the king. It's the first time Jesus allows himself to be recognized and worshiped publicly as the Messiah. And if you just, if you don't know the rest of the story, you just looked at it, you would be going, oh my gosh, this is going to have a great end. He's going to become king. He's going to sit on the throne. He's going to get rid of the Romans. And it kind of has that feel to it. Kind of nothing could be farther from the truth.
Quick turn.
By the time we get to Friday, again, it bears repeating. Just remember this. Those that were crying Hosanna on Sunday, by Friday, they were yelling, crucify him. The fickleness of humanity. Okay, so here we go. Let's start with prayer this morning and then get into the final week of Jesus' life here on earth, excluding the 40 days after his resurrection. But let's start with Monday. Monday, beloved, is a day of cursing and cleansing. Let's pray together now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you this Monday morning, Holy Week, O God, and we're asking you to speak to us through your word. Lord, we don't want to just have more head information. God, we want this word to penetrate all of our hearts as it has mine already this morning, even in preparing this. God, would you speak to the deepest places of our hearts, and may this word be applicable to mm-hmm. us, Lord, and may we be doers of this word this morning and not just hearers only. Mm-hmm. So speak, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. All right. So Monday, really, really interesting, symbolic day of a very, very deep spiritual truth. Mm-hmm. Sarah, why don't you read us this first passage from Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14, about the cursing of the fig tree. Yeah.
Now, the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it.
Yeah. Now, before we unpack this, as he cursed it, right, then something interesting happened. Mm-hmm. Sometime in the future.
Yeah. So a few verses later in verse 20 and 21, it says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots."
Yeah.
So later, they saw the fulfillment of the curse.
The next day, mm-hmm. Tuesday morning. So what Jesus said, it came to pass, yes. No surprise, but just to be clear, he mm-hmm. didn't just curse it and then it didn't, you know, happen. It did happen. Yeah. Okay, so what's the deal? What's the symbolism here with the fig tree? Mm-hmm. Well, throughout the Old Testament, the fig tree speaks of the nation of Israel, okay? And so what's the symbolism here? What's this hidden kind of interesting truth? Now, because this particular fig tree here in this story, because it had leaves, it should have also had the blossoms that precede the figs, okay? So this is about form without function mm-hmm. or form without fruit. This is something that is looking like it should have something to offer, yeah. but it didn't. Yeah. It's just not as easy as saying the word hypocrisy. Although that's a part of this. This tree is symbolizing a nation that should be providing something mm-hmm. for the rest of the world at this time. And they weren't. Yeah. They were like the fig tree. And Jesus cursed it. Yeah. So just a heavy word of judgment. Not an eternal cursing, not a, hey, God is done with the nation of Israel cursing, but they missed their moment of visitation. Yeah. We see later, actually, it was the day before on Palm Sunday, mm-hmm. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
Yeah, and so here's this interesting moment where Monday is about the cursing of the fig tree. And in fact, it happened just like the other prophecies. Now, listen to me. This is important. When Jesus also prophesied and foretold the downfall of Jerusalem that happened approximately 37 years later, mm-hmm. just like he said, they would be surrounded by their enemies and not one stone left upon another and all of that. Yeah. Titus Vespasian, the Roman general, obliterated Jerusalem. And so just serious, serious stuff. So here Jesus is cursing the fig tree. Now, later that day, another really symbolic, and yet these things are tied together, another super symbolic event. Here's the next set of verses, Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 17.
So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves."
All right. So here you go. You maybe caught the connection here. First, let me just say briefly, this is the second time mm-hmm. that Jesus did this.
Yeah.
Jesus cleansed the temple for the first time in John chapter 2 at the beginning of his ministry. Mm-hmm. And now at the end of his ministry, he's cleansing the temple again. Mm-hmm. Now here's the connection with the fig tree. Remember, the fig tree was looking like something that mm-hmm. was providing something.
Yeah.
It had form without fruit. This is the exact same thing that happens here at the temple.
Yeah.
Because the temple that was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, a place of worship and sacrifice and heartfelt devotion and seeking of God, it had become what? A den of thieves.
Yeah.
So you have to make this connection, beloved, between the cursing of the fig tree that looked like something that it wasn't, and the temple that looked like something that it wasn't.
Yeah, the people were coming for spiritual sustenance. they were coming for food.
And it wasn't there.
And it wasn't there.
Yeah. What was there was actually the abuse of people and taking advantage of them mm-hmm. by selling them their sacrifices, their doves and all that yeah. at an exploited, exuberant number. And so Jesus, what does he do? He cleanses the temple and he starts overturning the money changers. The other gospel stories tell us he made a cat of nine tails, and he's just going off because he's irate about something that was supposed to be producing life and fruit, mm-hmm. and it really was producing corruption and lack. Mm-hmm. He's not happy about it. He's not happy about it. So serious stuff on Monday. You know, we find ourselves going back to this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, more and more, where Paul talks about chapter 3, verse 5 specifically, but really 1 through 5, where he talks about in the last days, perilous times will come, men will be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers. He gives a list of like 19 characteristics. And then the last thing he says about them in verse 5 is that they have a form of godliness, but deny, resist, don't want anything to do with the power. In other words, they have form without fruit or function. Mm-hmm. They're just religious on their exterior, but they're not regenerated
right.
in their hearts.
Right.
And so this is a warning from the scripture for kind of last days, if you will, religious people of being careful.
Yeah.
Making sure you're not just going through the motions.
What is that final verse in Timothy? Always learning but never coming to the knowledge.
Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to really think on that. How that's a scary place.
Yeah. Always learning, never able. And then the next verse is, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, mm-hmm. so these also resist, right, the truth and mm-hmm. all of that. Mm-hmm. Who were Jannes and Jambres? They were the magicians, mm-hmm. right, who were resisting Moses there as he was dealing yeah. with Pharaoh,
yeah.
resisting the truth of God. And so definitely don't want to be found in that camp. Mm-hmm. The point of this, of Monday, is this. It is a day of cursing, but it's a day of cleansing. Mm-hmm. And so as Jesus was serious about cleansing the ancient temple, so does the word of God tell us that he's serious, God's serious about us cleansing our own temple, mm-hmm. right? Now, we're talking about the temple of our bodies, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We see the reality of the analogy, the symbolism made, that our bodies are the temples mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit. And just like Jesus wants to cleanse the ancient temple, he wants to cleanse, right, our bodies now mm-hmm. of things that dwell in us, yeah. that where there should be fruit, maybe there's not fruit. Mm-hmm. Or where there's should be sanctification, maybe there's sin. Mm-hmm. And so Monday is this day for cleansing as we kind of lead into Holy Week. This is a good day for us to get with Jesus. Sarah, read for us 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, and then chapter 7, verse 1. Listen to this, beloved.
And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the fear of God.
So we're the temple, and because we're the temple, and because we have these promises mm-hmm. that God will dwell in us and walk with us mm-hmm. and be our God, and we're going to be his sons and his daughters. Mm-hmm. He said, listen, because you've been giving these unbelievable promises, yeah. notice what he said. Let us cleanse ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what, beloved? There's
introspection.
There's part of our walk with God, and I get that we're dependent upon him for everything. Without him, we can do nothing. But we never want to get to the point of kind of a fatalistic approach to our walk with God that just says, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to be because God does it. Mm-hmm. No, there's times where God calls us to cooperate with him. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those times where he says, you need to cleanse yourself. Mm-hmm. Just like he said in the scripture, you need to humble yourself. Surely God will humble you. Surely God will cleanse you. But there's times where we have to make the commitment to do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we take Paul's advice, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Mm-hmm. So we examine ourselves. And then when we examine ourselves, then we humble ourselves and cleanse ourselves. We get rid of the stuff in our temple that is not producing fruit, but really is holding us back. We cleanse ourselves from it. All filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. And remember, he's talking to the church.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's in all of us. I've said this many times before. Sarah said this. Pastor Steve, Pastor Sarah, Leader Steve, whatever title you want to put, listen, all have sinned. Nobody is perfect. Every single one of us have areas in our lives that need to be cleansed. And it's Monday Holy Week for us to do a checkup. It's Monday on Holy Week where Jesus cleansed the temple and tells us to cleanse ourselves, that we've got to do some introspection, as Sarah said, look at our lives and go, okay, what needs to change here? This has gone on long enough, and it's time for a change. Cleanse ourselves, and then he says, here's how you do it. You perfect holiness by fearing God.
Yes.
So radically important, right? What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord, defined in the scriptures, is holding God in such a reverential awe that you hate evil and depart from it. It's cleansing your temple. Yeah. One of the problems in the church today and in the world today, nobody seems to fear God anymore.
No.
Nobody seems to understand that God is holy, that God is God, that we're going to give an account for our lives.
Yeah.
We have this, again, the happy hippie image of Jesus. And we have forgotten that God is holy and to be hallowed. Mm-hmm. And so here it is, Monday, Holy Week, the cleansing of the temple, because it was pretending to be something that it wasn't, and Jesus wasn't happy with it.
Yeah.
So lots of stuff today, right? Huge switch from Sunday, Palm Sunday, yay, to now Monday. Hey, there's some stuff that needs to get cleaned up here.
Yeah.
So let's pray together one more time now. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray for ourselves. Sarah and I pray for ourselves, for our own family, Lord God. We pray for every family, every person that's watching this. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to do a work of your spirit in our lives that would cause us then to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, that we would perfect holiness in our temples by fearing you. And so, Lord, would you speak to us today? And then, Lord, may we be quick. May we be quick to cleanse our own temples, to repent where necessary, to apply the precious and powerful blood of Jesus to the sins that so easily ensnare us. God, would you do a work in us today on this sacred Monday of Holy Week? We love you. We bless you, God. Thank you for your grace and love and mercy. Mm-hmm. Thank you that if we confess, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, would you do that today as we come to have our temples cleansed?
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Mm-hmm. Remember, beloved, to share this. Be social media missionaries. If you have any questions or want to talk, info@steveberger.org, and we'll answer any questions pertaining to this. God bless you. Have a happy and healthy Holy Week. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m. God bless, guys. Bye-bye.